Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves and the election rolls on. But before we talk about the election, Martin, last night in the Wiley Fox, we had the Tortoise Shack live. We had a packed house and we had people engaged and you could actually feel a little bit of hope in the air.
Yeah, it was, Tony. You know, a lot of negatives in the campaign, but that was a big positive to have those people on stage. And look, fair dues to Jack Chambers for coming along, a bit of a bear pit, but he stepped in and he did all right. And I think it was a very good positive night. A lot of positive people in the room.
Yeah, no, it's like when you're doing these things like we are, you're paying for a sound engineer, you're paying for a room and you're hoping people are going to come. You're genuinely going, and you could end up sitting there with six people looking at you going like, what the hell is this? And then when it's packed like that and you're sitting around and your shiny head is there and we're all drinking your Blue Wicked in your paper cup.
And Mick Clifford's coming along to see how the live shows work. We did
see you there, Mick, now, which you like sitting there pretending that you weren't all jealous and all, you know?
Come back to us, Mick, you're forgiven.
Yeah. Stop doing that Dunphy pod, if you like. But no, it's great when you look around and you see. Also, I'll tell you one thing. Met some great people last night, but the candidates that were on stage, you know, there was Owen O'Brien, there was Carly Bailey, there was Patrick Costello from the Greens. You know, we had, as you said, Jack Chambers from Fianna Fáil. You know, absence, where were you, Fine Gael?
Yeah, Fine Gael was the only one. Now, and I have to say too, along with some great engaged and audience members, we have the most beautiful, and I mean beautiful people, Tony. They are really good looking people, the men, the women. I mean, if you want to be in this clique, join up as a patron, trust me.
What are you talking about? Looks like I got dragged through a bush backwards and then slapped in the face. No, you are right though, honest to God. Like we talk about it a lot. We do, it's great, but like we're talking about how this is going to, will this all be gone after the election? Will we still be here? We're plugging away, we want to be here, but we can only be here if people are going to help out. Straight into Martin, okay? What you were saying to me a couple of weeks ago, watch the pensions. And it's been bubbling away and something's been bothering me because I know, and it came up last night as well, that the cost for a year, they reckon, is about somewhere between 340 to 350 million a year to correct, you know, this.
To keep the pension age at 65, yes.
Yeah. You would say, not just you, actually, ICTU, Patricia King and all would say that if we corrected bogus self-employment in the construction industry, that would bring in about 300 million a year?
Just in construction alone, it's 240 million, the loss to the Exchequer. And Patricia King crunched those figures. They're revenues figures, social welfare figures. She spent a lot of time doing it.
Okay, so here's my hot take. Jesus, Tony, don't say hot take. I'll leave it in. But here's my thing. We talk about bogus self-employment in terms of almost like illegal state aid, like fraud.
It is illegal state aid.
Yeah, in terms of fraud that you're actually, you're saying to employers, this is what we're going to let you do to keep your overheads down and to basically rip people off of pensions.
Well, it makes it cheaper for you.
Yes, but here's my thing now. So the state are doing that, but rather than fix that, now what they're going to ask people at age 66 is say, well, actually, will you illegally tell the state that you're unemployed for a year?
Yes.
Which again, is asking people to go. So rather, this is the definition of two wrongs to try and make a right.
Yeah.
Am I right in that?
100%, Tony, and I'm really surprised at the mainstream media because before the election, quite a few of them had clued into this thing that there is $1 billion a year going amiss through bogus self-employment. And in Spain today, Deliveroo were adjudged to be employees and not self-employed. And this is the crux of it. It comes back to it in Ireland. They did deals to call thousands of people self-employed by default. Mm. And if you want to get out of that, you have to go to scope and then you have to fight the very system that called you self-employed in the first place. And it's their vested interest that you not be found an employee, because if you are found an employee, they were wrong all along.
If you want to check out, Martin has written extensively. It's all on Tortoise Shack. He's done his pods about that. But what I'd say is I'm staggered that the idea is that rather than fix this, let's do another
double unlawful.
Yeah. Let's double.
The first one was unlawful, and let's do a double unlawful now.
But we're calling it, this is going to be an intermediate payment, and you know the cost of setting these things up rather than doing the right thing.
Tony, I had an economist on there during the week, and he was talking to me about it, and I was saying, look, PESCO, that's money going to arms dealers. Get rid of that. Put that in. There are ways and means around.
Of course,
the pension.
We know there's money. Back to the Sinn Féin are launching their manifesto today. You know what? The only thing that's worth asking at the moment now is because it's been pointed out again is that both the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael did nothing for renters. There are a million people renting in Ireland and there's nothing in there. They've ignored that cohort of the electorate, and I'm wondering what the Sinn Féin one is. I kind of know because we had Owen last night and he spoke about what their thoughts about these cost rental models and how they want to operate that. Unfortunately, you know, we talk if they want to do a rent freeze and give people back a 1,500 of a rent rebate.
Yeah.
They can go, okay, absolutely, some of this isn't going to happen, Martin. That's the reality. Some of it, you know, some of it can happen though. But what would be good to see in that is when we see these costed analysis, we have to see it in the context of, for example, the Taoiseach tweeting about Cherrywood yesterday about how, and he said they said it can't be done. And who said, I mean, what developer in his right mind wouldn't do that? You paid twice what you were supposed to do, and you paid 50 million. 50 million of our money, folks, went into the infrastructure. So, you know, you're running the cables, running the plumbing. And for that, we agreed with the developer to get a return of 0.00.
Yeah.
And we got par five, and we paid full price, and we're paying it 438,000 for a unit there. It's insane.
It's madness.
No, so if anybody tells me that, you know, giving renters a break, where are you going to get the money for that? Well, stop fucking wasting money on that stuff and cop yourselves on. Like, if you can build homes for half of what, like the government's own reports is for half that price, we can build them ourselves. Why aren't you doing it? Still doesn't mean that I believe that, you know, these rent rebates and stuff are going to happen. I just don't. I'm getting more and more cynical. You're actually becoming more hopeful. I'm becoming more cynical.
Well, I think anything that can be taken away, Tony, the first time you have a problem with the economy, anything that can be removed will be removed.
Mm.
Your pension is cast iron. So should your roof over your head be cast iron. It can't be something that they can dip in and dip out of when, you know, economic circumstances don't allow you go homeless.
Yeah.
You know, so you need something more certain.
I want to get back on the campaign trail. It was nice to sit down with Ellen Coyne from Head of Politics and Joe. She's very kind. Check out, they're doing a podcast with Dion Fanning and Carl Kinsel called The State of Us. Absolutely. You know, guys, We don't care. You can go and listen, take as many voices as you want, as diverse as you want. But she made a great point about the quality of the questions she's get that are happening. You know, like when the Taoiseach is engaging with people, he's not getting the shake my hand and take me picture. He's getting, why are you asking for 2% reduction when we need 7?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's fascinating. You know, whatever about the videos of him going to the butchers every 2 days to prove that he's not a vegan. You know,
the electorate has become tired of the same stale old response. And I spoke to you about this, Tony. I have friends who would never vote left who are now ringing me and going, how do we do this? how do we effect a change? And I'm saying to them, well, great, thank you for calling me. Okay, vote X, Y, Z. What's your constituency? Keep them out. Vote that way. Do this. And I'm giving them the instructions. But that's the first time in my lifetime that these guys that I would have called fairly conservative are ringing me and saying, how do we affect change?
Yeah, no, I think there's a real unstoppable trend at the moment. I mean, we whatever about some of the mainstream media and obviously particular elements within it and how they...
Oh, come on, do the quote, please,
No, I'm just sick of... Martin, you're enjoying this way too much. There's certain
glamour
elements out there.
Just like the Sussexes. Glamour, Tony, glamour. I tell you, lick spittle isn't in it.
But that being said, like, you know, we saw Sarah Carey's hatchet piece, you know, at the weekend, and yet I picked up on it today. She was talking to people online, and I thought it was quite a slip where she actually said, assuming Fine Gael's time is up. And they know the game is up. Within Fine Gael right now, there are discussions about the next Taoiseach. Within Fine Gael right now, people I know in the leafy parts of my area and all, they're all talking around now going, will it be Pascal or will it be Simon? These conversations are happening over the lattes, you know, and I'm cracking up. I think this because they all think I'm a mad radical, but I just think this is so entertaining for me.
Okay, but look at the bigger picture. What we're hearing now is the dialogue is that if Fine Gael go in with the Greens or Labour and they can make a government, that's the way to go. Even if Fine Gael can do it, look, I'm going to say it's straight up, if Fianna Fáil, if the Greens or Labour go to government first, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, and don't go to the left, forget it. Don't ever walk back on the left again. Don't ever do it. Ever. Left first, and if they can't agree, go and talk to them, but you should not run to them first. And if you do, forget it. I'm never going to give you a vote. Ever, ever, ever.
Yeah, no, I have to say, there's when they talk about, because I keep hearing all these red lines have been thrown around, and that would be a red line for me now.
Yeah,
if you thought that you couldn't actually sit down and talk with people who are broadly left and progressive, and then you decided you want to talk to one of the big two first, no, I'm sorry, you're done.
It's a line and you've crossed it.
Yeah, no, I really can't stress that enough to anybody who if you feel that that's where you're going, if that's what you're...
Drink tea with the tans. Go on, off with you.
everything was back to the black and tans. Huh? Brings me to the last thing I wanted to ask you, and it's a bit off our these conversations. Voting tactically.
Yeah. Now, voting tactically is important because you've got to look at your constituency level. There's no point in going to go, oh, I'm going to go Greens 1, I'm going to go Labour 2, I'm going to go Sinn Féin 3. You must look at your constituency and see who's in the running. There is no point in voting for somebody who's not in the running. It's a wasted vote. If your candidate is pretty sure of getting elected, then don't give them the 1, give them the 2 and give somebody else the 1. Get them the boost. It's staying in the race as long as you can. And the way it works is when the first count goes through, the transfers kick in.
You spend all your time in these count centres.
I do tally man in count centres. And somebody said it to me last night, how do we get people to vote radically? And I went, how do you get people to vote fucking properly in the first place? Never mind radically, properly. Look at your constituency. If your candidate is going to be elected and you're pretty sure, then go to your number 2 and give them your number 1 and give your candidate a number 2. Therefore, the transfer will go to them. Even if they're in trouble, it'll go to them. And you go all the way down the list, all the way you can possibly go. And if you don't want Fine Gael in government, don't give them a number. If you don't want Fianna Fáil in government, don't give them a number. Now, tactically, if you want to keep Fine Gael out, then you should give Fianna Fáil your last 2 numbers. And I know that goes against the grain for a lot of people, but that's how proportional representation works.
Well, I mean, I do vote down the ballot. I vote right way down. And I'm glad to put that other fella at the very, very bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's how I would do it. But again, you know, I just think it's funny how you point out how, you know, if someone is going to romp home, yes, you can afford maybe to swap the 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And I also think that's the other thing that's been coming out now is that it's been a big mistake by Fine Gael to run 2 candidates in a lot of constituencies where they thought that they'd have a surplus that would carry the second one. And that's not going to come to fruition at all now. Last thing, Martin, is actually, it goes back to when we started these podcasts. One of our earliest guests was Lorcan Sir.
Yeah.
And he's going to kill me for saying this because this wasn't on mic. This was off mic. But Lorcan actually demonstrated how, as Ireland has come on through the decades, it's become more of an urban, more modern.
Urbanized, yeah, rather than rural.
And he showed, he basically mapped out the scale of how the electorate has gone in one direction and the vote for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael has gone in the other way.
Yeah.
So this phenomenon that we're saying now is a phenomenon has been actually happening slowly.
Completely predictable. I've been saying it for ages.
Ah, oh, would you stop?
I've been saying it for ages.
Are you a Gaeler? You're taking credit for everything.
I've been saying it for ages. The trend is down. Mm. Always is down and has been for 20 years. The share of the vote going to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael has been dropping. There was absolutely no reason for the last 2.5 years to think that it would be any other way. No reason.
There was. And someone, you know, people pointed it out, that the fact that people, I think it was Ellen pointed out last night on the stage quite well, and she was actually right, that when we saw people attacking our Taoiseach from the UK, we were all going, that's our, you know, we don't like him, but he's our Taoiseach.
Oh yeah, well, we're entitled to do that too.
Yes,
Tony.
Absolutely. But what I mean is, that gave a sense that he was more popular than he was. That gave a sense. It didn't matter about him. It mattered. All it mattered about it was our Taoiseach, as opposed to, you mind your own business. You know what I mean? We're done taking orders.
I think what it also clearly shows is that polls in between elections, they really are a waste of time. And they're a waste of energy. And they're a waste of newsprint. And they're a waste of talk, because they don't matter.
So what you're saying to us now is, as soon as this is over, we got to cancel these pods, yeah?
Well, no. Polls, I'm saying. Polls.
I know.
But I do believe that there's too much emphasis put on them. And until people's minds are honed on an election, you're never going to get a reasonable result. Now, we've had 3 in a row since the election was called, and they're all pretty consistent. I'd be confident enough that the trend is what the trend is.
Just a reminder, lads, we do rely on you guys. Patreon.com/Tortoise Shack. Check out Reboot Republic. Check out Disturbing the Peace. I'm pretty sure that's where the big pod will be coming out, because it was hosted by Rory and Rachel. Myself and Martin had the time. And thanks, Ellen Coyne, for your time. Coming up shortly now is a conversation I had with Peter Cavanagh of the Greens. And we will have several more throughout the week. You want to get in? My DMs are open. I'm on Twitter. You'll find me. Talk to y'all soon.
Bye.
I'm delighted to be joined on the line by the Green Party candidate for Dublin Midwest, Peter Cavanagh. Peter, how are you keeping?
Grant, yeah, tired, to be honest with you, Tony. I'm not going to lie to you, third election campaign inside 8 months. So it's a bit tough on the old bones, but look, just relishing the opportunity to get out there and offer people a sort of an alternative to business as usual.
It's funny, because I did want to bring that up, because you're not the first person I've spoken to, and we've interviewed a lot of people who has been basically on the campaign trail now for nearly a year, basically, you know. Are you finding it that it's improving, or how are you finding it yourself?
Yeah, it's hard to tell sometimes. Like, sometimes the fatigue just actually catches up with you, and it does feel rough. But normally when you get the chance to get knocking on doors and get talking to people, it does actually, the improvement and the reception and how warm people are and how willing they are to talk about alternatives to what's going on at the moment is brilliant. And you hit the nail on the head. Like, it's been a long, almost non-stop campaign, because I gave it a good rattle starting about 18 months out from the council elections, and then there was a council election in May. I was lucky enough to get a seat, and from that there was the council ones throughout the summer, and just calling around to estates where there was an issue and sorting out their local issues, getting around and dropping off newsletters to people and trying to figure out what are the main issues affecting people in Clondalkin and where I represent. Then they called the by-election, so that was a very intense 6 weeks out there, just again trying to sort of spread news that I was running into areas where I'm not the local councillor, getting into Palmerstown and Lucan, and also, you know, while keeping sight of the people I represent in the Clondalkin electoral area, and then. You know, I took 2 weeks, no, 1 week, 4 days actually off at Christmas to go up to my wife's home place. And then back at it again, just dropping around updates and letters, talking to people about bus connects, about litter, abandoned cars, antisocial behaviour. And then general election called, so straight out again, and this time a 3-week campaign. So if anyone has reason to hate Leo Varadkar, it's me, because I haven't had a public holiday yet. But to be honest with you, it's good to get the opportunity to get out there and talk to people, see what's important to them, because this is all about. Like, you want to be able to offer people solutions to the problems that are affecting their quality of life and all the other concerns they have.
Yeah, I have to say that, like, you know, the whatever about the by-elections and the local, that nothing focuses the minds more than the general. Peter, do you mind me asking, what are your ambitions yourself, if you were to get a seat?
If I'm to get a seat, it would hopefully be as part of a large green block of TDs. And this is what we need to pull together. Like, we need to pull together a national movement, that encompasses everybody from all walks of life, that are basically solid on the message that we need to change how we're operating in order to make Ireland ready for the future. Like, we don't have a lot of time left to reduce our carbon emissions, to become carbon neutral. And at the moment, the way things are stacked, it looks like we'll be paying about 600 million a year in fines for our status as climate laggards, as Leo puts it. So we have to, you know, if we want to make a difference, there has to be enough of us. So it needs to be a dozen TDs or so. And then you have the options of either being a very strong opposition voice to try and drive policy, or, you know, and you have to entertain the possibility, a potential coalition partner, for whoever it might be, like for Sinn Féin as part of a grand left coalition, for Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael. As much as I wouldn't like to, like, I echo the thoughts of my party colleague and friend, Saoirse McHugh. Like, I'm not in favour of maintaining the status quo or keeping one of the two old parties in power, but given the pressing nature of the climate biodiversity emergency that we're in, we have to either get things done from the opposition benches or the government benches. We can't have anything out of the moment. Like, we can't have red lines around who we will and will talk to, but we have to have very strong red lines around what we do and do not want done.
I would, yeah, okay, so I would take that and I'd put it with a pinch of salt and say that my own feeling on this would be, at least after, if the numbers allow, that at least a progressive left would sit down with Green, and I've actually written a piece fairly similar about this for something that may or may not come out over the next couple of days. Because I don't know, would you publish me? I don't know. But nonetheless,
I'd certainly have to proofread you a couple of times.
Yeah, yeah. So as long as, you know, you got to stay away from that defamation. But I would say that, you know, there has to be a time where we sit down together as a progressive broad left. And think that there's a potential there for a green alliance. I know you started with we need to tackle the carbon emissions, but I'm assuming on the doors, that's not the first thing you're hearing.
No, look, it all comes down to quality of life. You know, people are going to vote for what makes their own life better. And the kind of climate action we need to focus on is the kind of climate action that makes people's lives better. You know, yeah. Like, we can reduce our carbon emissions significantly by making public transport the cheapest, the best value, the most comfortable and the easiest option for people. And that stops choking up our streets and that makes life easier. That means you're more likely to let your kids walk or cycle to school. And that's a better quality of life. So all of that helps. And like, agriculture, like, people think that the Greens are being anti-farmer at all. At the end of the day, our policy is to try and put money into farmers' pockets. Like, my father-in-law's a sheep farmer. The average sheep farmer earns 8.5 grand a year. Like, agriculture's not working for him. It's not working for suckler farmers. It's not working for vegetable farmers. It's working for big producers. It's working for vested interests. And it's certainly working for the kind of lobby groups that are driving Fine Gael policy. So, I mean, we're not talking about, like, obviously the end goal is to try and make sure that Ireland is climate-proofed and ready for the future. But during that process, first of all, it has to be just and fair, and it has to not disproportionately affect the most vulnerable. But second of all, it has to be tangible to people and make people's lives better. Mm. And that's what an improved public transport network does. That's what a fairer shake of the whip for farmers does. That's what a just transition to a carbon-free economy does. You know, it means that you don't leave behind older people or sick people or people with disabilities or farmers or people because they're in this part of the country instead of that part of the country, you know.
Or some housing.
Yeah, listen, housing is a massive part of this. You know what I mean? It's a huge, huge part of this. We need to be building public housing on public land. That's a corner of our policy platform. It has to be something that the next coalition, whatever that would be, if it is a grand left alliance, brilliant, fantastic, because then we don't have to fight an uphill battle to try and utilise public land to build public houses. And part of that is building these sustainable communities in the future. Part of building a sustainable community is building an area, building a home for people, not just a house, but a home for people who are proud to be there and who are proud of where they live and are happy in their communities. And probably above all else, given where I am and the kind of things coming up on the doors in Dublin Midwest, is where they feel safe and secure in their community, where they have that sense of place and they know that, you know, antisocial behaviour or crime isn't going to be a massive issue. And we can get back to a sort of a sense of community that is probably lacking in modern Ireland because of the sheer pressures on people these days and the lack of quality of life.
Peter, just one of the broad ones now. Obviously, you've been out campaigning for a long time, so I'm assuming you already have your message for your constituents. But do you want to give us it out so we can get it on the record here?
Business as usual is killing us in so many different ways. Like business as usual in housing is driving up the cost of rent. Mm. So working families can't afford to rent and save. You know, HAP artificially inflates rent in areas. It puts it beyond the reach of people on average wages or even on good wages. You know, and we're at a stage now where if you're renting, you certainly can't afford to buy a house. You've no long-term security tenure. So we need to address that, and we need to address that, you know, for many, many reasons. But it's about building better communities. And if we get away from the current business model, from the current way of doing things, we can address the big challenges that we're facing in health, in housing, in communities, in climate, you know, in climate action. Mm. It's just a case of, are we bold enough to take that step and to do something that's genuinely progressive and to elect the kind of voices who are not going to say, this is the way we've always done it. Mm. And these are the people that we need to serve, you know, the whatever vested interest that may be, whether it's property developers, whether it's landlords, you know, and even on the left, you have to look at, like, are you serving the interests of workers? Are you serving the interests of trade unions? You know, we have to be very, very true to the people who are going to put us in the dial if we're lucky enough to get there. Yeah. And that trust is something that should be the thing that's held above all else. At the moment, I think most of the parties out there have to look at their own support bases and realise that they're letting them down in a big way. And we need to address that.
I think that's very honest of you, and I appreciate that, because we are talking on this podcast relentlessly about the opportunity post election to sit down and carve out a progressive future. I don't think it's that radical. I think it's actually quite fair to think that, you know, a reasonable standard of living for a reasonable wage without fear of the landlord giving you notice to quit is revolutionary. I don't think it is. I think these are just very reasonable demands, but we've suffered slow right creep, I suppose, you know.
Well, it's more of a, just, you know, if you're in a society that sort of had things a certain way for so long, and we have this post-colonial hang-up with property, like, so we don't do long-term leases, we don't give security of tenure to people, and when a landlord decides to sell, that's it for the tenant, out you go, good luck. And there's, you know, when we were drawing up legislation as a nation, I know it's Fine Gael legislation, but when we as a country were drawing up legislation around things like rent pressure zones and all that, there were just far too many loopholes left in there that benefit a landed class of people and not enough in there to benefit tenants. And it all comes from the fact that, like, in Ireland, we tend to see renting and tenancy as a short-term thing. Ever since we got independence, the desire has been to own your land, to have something in your name. And I think moving into the future, as the population grows, I know we have the lowest population density in Europe and we have the youngest population in Europe, so these aren't alarm bells or anything like that. There's no major time bomb around this, but it is something we have to address, that we need to be looking at other alternatives to owning a piece of land with a house on it. We need to look at security of tenure for city centre living, for high and medium density living. And this is not, as you say, radical, because you can just look at other countries and see how well it can be done, and it can be done exceptionally well, and it can be done with the interests of tenants and ordinary working people in mind. But it is kind of radical for Ireland, because it would be the first time we would do it. And that's the brave step, and that's the bit that requires courage, because it is easy to just keep operating in the same, you know, in the same confines we've always done. You know, so-called civil war politics and, you know, just operating under this idea that everybody will get a mortgage and everybody will pay it off and everybody will have their house. And you know, I realise that Ireland is changing and we need to change as well.
Peter Kavanagh, the Green Party candidate, thank you so much for your time.